Welcome to the Veteran Next Door Live. Call now 865-243-8255 with your questions, comments, and stories. That's 865-243-TALK. And now your host, Randall Baxter.
Good morning. You're listening to Veteran Next Door Live. I'm your host, Randy Baxter. We've got a lot of things to cover today. A lot of events to talk about and a lot of projects and a little bit of work with veterans and elderly veterans. But anyway, one thing before we do the national anthem, this is the last weekend of my fifth year hosting the Veteran Next Door. So next week, we'll be doing our start of our six-year anniversary show to just kind of review some things that we've done over the past few 5 years. And I think we figured it up yesterday, 468 hours of broadcasting. So that's a lot, isn't it, Victoria? But anyway.
Yeah, you've earned your broadcasting license.
Really? I remember those first days. We'll talk about that here in a minute. But anyway, before we get started, let's do what we need to do, and that's the national anthem.
Calendar.
Francis Scott Key thinks about that version of his poem and his literary work. I don't know if he's turning over in his grave or if he was over there tapping his finger on the tables going, hey, this is pretty cool. But anyway, I heard that version of the Star Spangled Banner this week, and I thought, hey, that needs to be shared with our listeners. And I hope you like it. If you did like it, let me know. Send me an email or something, randallbaxter@randallbaxter.com, and let me know if you'd like those kind of varieties. But I heard it and made me think about what was going on. But before we talk about that anymore, let's go do our Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And it's Sunday morning. It's time for our prayer.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you've given us this day to remember. To remember the brave ones who have protected us. And Lord, we thank you for those who have given their lives for our country and for countries around the world. We ask for your loving protection over those who are overseas. We ask for your protection for those who have finished their service and are here amongst us. We thank you, Lord, that you have given us the brave souls who will fight for the rights of our country. We ask that you bless this presentation this morning and that you be here amongst us. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. You know, we're going to be dedicating our show today to our elderly veterans. We'll be talking about some benefits, and we'll be talking about some issues concerning those same people as we go through the day. And also, as we go through the show, we're going to be talking about some of the bridges. You know, we drive over bridges every day here in Knoxville, Tennessee. And seldom do we ever think about crossing a stream or a river. And we don't really notice bridges until one of them is either being rebuilt or repaired, or we have to find another way to get across it, like the Henley Street Bridge. But, you know, it's kind of been tradition sometimes that we name our bridges. And a lot of our bridges around here, or some of them, have been named after some of our veterans. You know, I know the past recent years when they were fixing the Henley Street Bridge, it was being rebuilt. Everybody noticed that bridge when it was down, especially those businesses on the south side of town. You know, and the same goes with smaller spans that are being repaired or sadly being declared unsafe for use. We name neighborhoods, streets, and cities, but, you know, we also name bridges, and usually for the community they serve, and occasionally for noted people. And often the names may be a bit obscure to us, but if you notice, most major or larger bridges have been named or dedicated to someone. But did you know that three of our bridges here in town have been in our community are named for Medal of Honor winners? A lot of people, you know, when and I've always wondered when I was on my way to Chattanooga or Atlanta, when I crossed the Tennessee River, you know, who is Mr. Stout? Sometimes when I'm on the way to Maryville or on my way to the airport, and I have to cross the Tennessee River again, and sometimes you wonder, well, who is J. Buck Carnes? And I guess all business people, if you're involved in sales at all, you're probably running up and down Pellissippi Parkway all the time. And there, when you cross the Tennessee River, you cross the Alexander Bonnieman Bridge. And, you know, our kids go across those bridges all day long, and they don't think anything about it, and they don't know what it means to have a bridge named after you or who those people were or what they did. And sometimes it's just a good idea to stop and realize, you know, let's honor the people who our bridges are named after and things like that. So that's going to be some of our topics today. And again, I want to talk about elder care and the benefits that some of our veterans are entitled to. But we'll do that after the break. You're listening to The Veteran Next Door. I'm your host, Randy Baxter, and we'll be right back.
Now back to the Veteran Next Door live. Call 865-243-8255. That's 243-TALK. And now your host, Randall Baxter.
Welcome back to the Veteran Next Door. You know, have you ever heard the word sapper? S-A-P-P-E-R. Sometimes when we've had Tom Mercer on here or some of our other Vietnam veterans, and they talk about sitting in a bunker at night and guarding on guard duty, and you were always watching out for sappers. And a professional sapper, although his professional sapper's lifespan was not very long in most cases, a sapper would put an explosive on him or carry one with him and would go try to infiltrate or blow up a fence or barbed wire or any kind of barrier in order to allow his buddies to rush into a fort or into a stronghold or into a post. So a sapper was somebody who could move without being seen, and his mission was to destroy a gate or anything like that. Well, sometimes if you get in your car, if you ever go into Loudoun or Sweetwater from Knoxville, or if you're coming back from Chattanooga, you can cross a bridge. It's a big, beautiful bridge looking over the river. And sometimes when you see it, it's dedicated to Mitchell Stout. And who is he? Well, he's a Medal of Honor awardee. He didn't win it. A lot of people say you don't win a Medal of Honor. You are awarded a Medal of Honor. You never seek to go out and win a Medal of Honor. So many times it's posthumous. But Mitchell William Stout was born on February 24th, 1950. He was a baby boomer. And he lived to be 20 years old. He died just 2 weeks after his 20th birthday. And he was a United States Army soldier and recipient of the United States military's highest decoration, the Medal of Honor, for his actions in the Vietnam War. So you parents out there, you grandparents who are driving across that bridge and you have children with you, you know, remember this story, because the children will be interested in knowing why the bridge has the name. So you might want to remember parts of this, but he joined the Army from Raleigh, North Carolina in August of 1967. He was 17 years old when he joined the Army. Why didn't he go to college, or why didn't he go on, or, you know, I don't know. But he joined the Army. And but by March 12th, 1970, he was serving as a sergeant. So it took him 3 years to get to be a sergeant in Battery C, 1st Battalion, 44th Artillery Regiment. And on that day, at another bridge, at the Cajo Bridge in the Republic of Vietnam, William Stout, Mitchell William Stout, picked up an enemy thrown grenade and used his body to shield his comrades at the expense of his own life. And from this day forward, every time I cross that bridge, I will know who that man is and think about that man who gave up so much. He gave up 40, 50, 60, 70 years of life on earth in order to protect his fellow soldiers. He's buried in the Virtue Cemetery, which is in Concord, Tennessee. I want to make it a point when I find that cemetery to go visit his grave and thank him. But this is his Medal of Honor citation. Sergeant Stout distinguished himself during an attack by a North Vietnamese Army Sapper Company on his unit's firing position at Cajo Bridge. Sergeant Stout was in a bunker with members of a searchlight crew when the position came under heavy enemy mortar fire and ground attack. Can you think about that, being 20 years old and in a hole and being fired on and the mortars dropping in. When the intensity of the mortar attack subsided, an enemy grenade was thrown into the bunker. So while the mortar was coming down and the American soldiers all had their heads down trying to not get blown up, the sappers were moving in. And one got close enough to the bunker to throw a grenade into that bunker. Displaying great courage, Sergeant Stout ran to the grenade. Ran to the grenade, not away from it. Picked it up. And started out the bunker. As he reached the door, the grenade exploded. By holding the grenade close to his body and shielding its blast, he protected his fellow soldiers in the bunker from further injury or death. Sergeant Stout's conspicuous gallantry and intrepidity in action at the cost of his own life are in keeping with the highest traditions of the military service and reflect great credit upon him, his unit, the United States Army. So next time you're driving across that bridge and you see that name, Sergeant Stout, understand that bridge is named for a young man who would never see 21, never even be allowed to vote in the United States of America. And probably at the time would never been allowed to buy beer. Tucked an enemy grenade in his gut and ran out the door to protect those other people that were in that bunker. I've had other soldiers come here and explain about life inside a bunker and how if that grenade had gone off, it would have probably killed everyone just from the concussion inside that bunker. And that young man saw fit to sacrifice his life for those of his buddies in that bunker. And because of that, every time you or I cross the Tennessee River heading to Chattanooga, we cross a bridge called the Stout Bridge. It's the Interstate 75 bridge that crosses the Tennessee River at Watts Bar Lake in Loudoun County. It's named in honor of William W. Stout in Lenoir City. He was a Lenoir City soldier. Killed in 1970 in Vietnam. So just remember that. You know, we take for granted our bridges, and the names of them, and we don't always know the story, but there you have it. Next time you've got your grandchildren or your children going across that bridge, tell them that story. I don't know if there's anybody out there that knew Mr. Stout. Maybe give us a call and talk to us about him. It's 865-243-8255. But when I read his story, I was just in awe that this young man who joined the Army when he was 17 and died by the time he was 20 and received the Medal of Honor. So that's just something. We're also going to talk about some other bridges and things like that today. And also, kind of, I have an announcement for you. I'll make this announcement a couple times today. But on September 3rd, coming up. Now, you got not this week, but next week on September 3rd, if you are a veteran of the United States of America, you may want to attend this seminar. It's a free seminar and you get lunch. I get asked all the time. Sometimes I don't know all the answers, but there is a seminar to be put on by Dignity Memorial. And what you'll do if you come to the seminars, you'll learn about your VA burial benefits and the Dignity Memorial Veteran Benefits Program. Now, that doesn't mean you have to be ready to die next week. That just means you need to come in and, you know, you might want to attend it because you may have an elderly veteran in your family and you might not know what they're entitled to. I get that asked that question all the time. When I usually when I get asked the question, it's post-death. What could we have had for our father? Or what could we have done for our grandfather? And folks, by then, sometimes it's too late. So anyway, remember the day, September 3rd. It's a free Veterans Administration and Dignity Memorial Burial Benefits Seminar. Now, I don't think the VA will be there. These are people just setting up, giving you information so you can join. Bring your friends or bring someone that needs to hear. But join your friends. It's an informational seminar that can bring real peace of mind to you and your family. And as you learn what the government does and doesn't provide, you may be surprised at what the VA provides. I'm going to be there. Maybe come up and say hello. I'm not promoting it or anything, but they have allowed me to come so that I can learn too. And it's going to be at the Weaver Funeral Home at 5815 Western Avenue, Thursday, September 3rd at 11 a.m. And they're going to provide lunch. You need to RSVP. So to confirm and obtain directions, please call Janet Guest. And Janet Guest was our guest the other day on the show. Or you can call Dale Dennis at 577-6666. That'll get you to Janet. Or you can call Dale Dennis at 588-3868. Seating is limited, so please RSVP today. You can also call Janet on her cell phone at 865-603-8250. Now, Dignity Memorial is not authorized to file an initial application for Veterans Aid and Attendance Benefits on your behalf or to represent you before the Board of Veterans Appeals with any United States Department of Veterans Affairs in any preceding or any manner, including an application for such benefits. It would be illegal for us to accept a fee for preparing that application on your behalf. And, you know, there's a lot of people out there charging. As a veteran advocate, we help people file those applications, and we do not charge a fee. So if you have somebody out there that needs help, and we're going to talk about those things here in just a minute, and the event is not sponsored by or affiliated with the United States Department of Veterans Affairs or anybody like that. So you're not going to be put in a high-pressure sales situation. All you need to do is come and learn what those benefits are and meet Janet Guest and meet Dale Dennis, and I think you'll be glad you did. Other than that, look outside. It's a little cloudy. Time for the weather report and the news. You're listening to Veteran Next Door. I'm your host, Randy Baxter, and we'll be right back.
Now back to the Veteran Next Door live. Call 865-243-8255. That's 243-TALK. And now your host, Randall Baxter.
Welcome back to the Veteran Next Door. You know, we've been talking a little bit about bridges here in Knox County. And we just finished talking about the Mr. Stout's bridge across I-75 going into, like you're heading toward Chattanooga. Medal of Honor winner. Medal of Honor awardee. But, you know, on Saturdays during football season, we have thousands of people who cross the J. Buck Carnes Bridge on Alcoa Highway coming into Knoxville. You're coming in from Maryville, past the airport, heading into our town, past UT Hospital, and you get over and you can see the city of Knoxville and you got to cross this big old bridge. And when you see it, it says the James Ernest Buck Carnes Bridge. But he is one of only two so honored with the Medal of Honor from Knox County. The other being Alexander Sandy Bonneman. We're going to talk about him in just a minute. But Carnes and another soldier, we're going to talk about that other soldier here in a minute too, are credited with taking out a German machine gun site in France and capturing the enemy. By the end of the war, Carnes had one more medal than Tennessee's famed Sergeant Alvin York. He returned to Knoxville and served on the Knoxville Police Force for 13 years. And then he moved to California to be with his daughters due to his health and died there in 1966. So 50 years after World War I, we still had some World War I veterans. His body was returned to Knoxville and buried in the Greenwood Cemetery on Tazewell Pike. So next time I'm going down Tazewell Pike, if I have time, I'm going to pull into the Greenwood Cemetery. I'm going to visit his grave just to see, you know, how it makes me feel. But anyway, it was the J. Buck Carnes Bridge. It's located on the Tennessee River and was once known as the UT Farm Bridge. Most of us think of the span as the Alcoa Highway Bridge. But more properly and more fitting, it's the Buck Carnes Bridge. The bridge sign was recently updated to also read Medal of Honor recipient. So again, if you're driving to Chattanooga or coming back from Chattanooga, you tell your children a story about James Ernest Buck Carnes. And here's his story. He was born in 1889 in Arlington, Tennessee. And just like so many people, we've told the story about the World War I veterans from East Tennessee and how influential they were in World War I. And in October of 1918, toward the end of the war, the East Tennessee soldiers really made a name for themselves. But Carnes was a Knoxville native, and he and another local guy, Morristown native, named Calvin Ward, rallied the 117th Infantry in a charge that broke the Hindenburg line and forced the Germans into a retreat. Now think about that, we've talked about the Overmountain men from East Tennessee who didn't want to put up with what was going on during the Revolutionary War. We've talked about things that were going on during the Civil War. In the past, we've talked about Mr. Tyson that had a junior high school named after him and a park in the back of the school, who was an Indian fighter who had a son who was one of the first pilots to be shot down during World War I, and we named our airport after him and his family. But Buck Carnes and Calvin Ward looked at each other one day, and they were trapped, and they were German machine gun fire everywhere. But both of these Tennesseans not only received the Congressional Medal of Honor for their actions, But each returned home holding one medal more than the famous Alvin York. Here's what happened. On October 8, 1918, during the Meuse-Argonne offensive, their company was held up near Estrees, France, by a German machine gun position. As the machine gun raked the line with gunfire, Buck Carnes and Calvin Ward, I can just see these two Tennessee boys sitting in a ditch, talking with all those bullets bouncing around. German machine gun fire. And here's what one of them said to the other. It's rumored that Carnes said this to Ward. "Well, I've had about all that I can take." That sounds like a couple East Tennesseans. So what did they do? They fixed their bayonets on their rifles. And they charged the machine gun nest. They killed three of the German soldiers and captured seven of the enemy and their machine guns. This heroic action freed their company to advance against German lines in the war's last major offensive. So here's what the citation said. The Medal of Honor citation for Buck Carnes. During an advance, his company was held up by a machine gun, which was enfilading the line. That's a pretty wild word, enfilading. I guess it was just raking the line, just haphazard, just firing away, keeping everybody's head down, hitting whatever they could. And it said, accompanied by another soldier. Remember now, he was accompanied by a soldier from Morristown, Tennessee. He advanced against their position and succeeded in reducing the nest. That's interesting, reducing the nest. By killing three and capturing seven of the enemy and their guns. The Alcoa Highway, U.S. Route 129 bridge over the Tennessee River in Knoxville, is named for Buck Carnes. So again, folks, if you're driving, if you're going to the airport with the children, tell them that story. They'll be riveted. They'll sit and listen to every word that you've got to say. Tell them how he said he'd had about all that he could take. Well, I tell you what, when my father said that or my grandfather said that, I was about to get a whooping. Yeah. So anyway, and that's an East Tennessee saying, and I could always see my dad say, "Well, I've had about all that I could take." He'd be getting up out of his chair, rolling up a newspaper. And we knew we had pushed him to where he'd had about all he could take. I'm looking at a picture of Buck Carnes right now. He kind of looks like James Cagney, but he had black hair. And, just an East Tennessee boy. We had hundreds and thousands of soldiers from East Tennessee who went and fought in World War I, and a lot of them had distinguished experiences in World War I. So anyway, there's something else. So Calvin Ward, I'll just tell you a little bit more first. When that bridge was named the Buck Carnes Bridge in 1933, everybody knew who he was. Because it was just like, 15 years after his actions in World War I, and he was, Medal of Honor guy. Everybody knew that. But after a while, people die out or they forget and they just get used to going over a bridge and everybody forgets who he is or who he was. So anyway, there was a recent ceremony honoring him. And I don't know, maybe we need to find out if there's a Calvin Ward Bridge up in Morristown. There ought to be. But Mr. Ward was to have been a pallbearer at James Buck Carnes' funeral. But he was unable to attend due to poor health. Again, that was in 1966. 1 year later, Calvin Ward committed suicide in a Morristown hotel room. And when I learned that and realized that, it made me think back to what's been going on here in America today, where every 22 American veterans commit suicide every hour. I'm sorry, every day. About every 65 minutes that an American veteran commits suicide. But anyway, it's not the topic today. We will talk some more about that here in just a few minutes. But so there's two bridges now that you've got stories to tell your children when you're driving around. You need to share it with them, going to soccer games, baseball games, football games, airport, Chattanooga, whatever. We'll talk some more about our next hero and our next bridge. You're listening to Veteran Next Door. I'm your host, Randy Baxter, and we'll be right back.
Back to the Veteran Next Door live. Call 865-243-8255. That's 243-TALK. And now your host, Randall Baxter.
Welcome back to the Veteran Next Door. I'm your host, Randy Baxter. So have you driven across the Stout Bridge on I-75 going to Chattanooga? Or have you gone to the airport crossing the bridge at on the Tennessee River, the J. Buck Carnes Bridge? How about you folks in East Knoxville? If you come the back way from Knoxville, if you live out in Holston Hills or in the East Knoxville area, Chihuahua Hills or Burlington, wherever, out toward Robert Huff, you can come down Delrose and you'll come over to Boyd's Bridge Pike. Turn right, especially if you're going over to the Holston Rehab Center, where a lot of people go when they come out of the hospital, right down the corner, about a quarter mile away from the Holston River Park. If you look over, and not all people do it, but if you're looking out across the river, the only way you can get across the river is cross the bridge there, right across the Holston River, right before it gets to Boyd's Island. And there's a bridge there called Boyd's Bridge. Well, that's perfect for Boyd's Bridge Pike. And a lot of people have traveled that bridge for years. I have. Going out into the country, going over to visit my friend Johnny on Kennedy Road or up in the Kodak. And I've never really thought about who or why that bridge was named what it was. But it must have been something to do with Boyd's Island. Boyd's Bridge. Who are the Boyds? Well, did you know that the Boyd's Bridge is named after a Confederate veteran? And I guess maybe we ought to tear it down now since we're lowering flags and everything. But you got to remember, in 1958, 1959, all Confederate veterans were given equal status to all of the Union Army veterans that fought in the Civil War. Boyd's Bridge crosses the Holston River in East Knoxville, just north of Boyd's Island. So it's obviously named for the Boyd family. Well, the Boyds helped settle the Knoxville area. There's even Boyd land all the way up into Sevierville. But Dr. John Boyd was a noted family physician who lived prior to the Civil War in the Blunt Mansion. He left that dwelling and joined the Confederate Army. Boyd returned to Knoxville after the conflict and served as secretary, treasurer, and president of the Knox County Medical Society and on the board. The bridge was built in 1949, so it was built after World War II, and it connects Knoxville with Strawberry Plains Pike. So next time you're crossing that bridge, tell your children a story about the Boyd family and how Dr. Boyd was a member of the Confederate military during the Civil War, and that his family had settled Knoxville when Knoxville was just the land between First Creek and Second Creek, when it was a little bit before his time. But those of you who don't know too much about Knoxville, the agreement was with the Cherokees is as long as the white men would stay in between First Creek and Second Creek, the Indians wouldn't kill them. And that was the treaty. Do not get out from between First Creek and Second Creek. Well, that didn't last. But anyway, Dr. John Boyd, Boyd's Bridge. You know, there's also another bridge from named after a friend of mine. Real quiet, gentle man who wore a Tennessee Highway Patrol hat. And in 2013, Trooper Mike Slagle died after his car slid off Longmar Meyer Road near Emory Road. He was a 25-year veteran of the state police, and he was honored later that year by the renaming of the Longmire Bridge as the Trooper Mike Slagle Bridge. The naming and sign dedication ceremony was attended by Knox County Mayor Tim Burchett, family members, friends, and state troopers. We've got other bridges that weren't named after military men or policemen all over town. But what we're going to talk about next here in a few minutes is that bridge on Pellissippi Parkway. And it's funny how history reaches a long way into the past or a long way into the future. But if you ever come to my office, and you're welcome to come to my office, I'd love to have you there as a guest. But if you go in there, ask me to show you. A lot of times when I go do events with the military, as a thank you, they give me a military coin. And one of the coins I received down on Alcoa Highway one day when I went to speak to the Marine group was a coin honoring First Lieutenant Alexander Sandy Bonneman. I'm very, very proud of that coin. I show it to people all the time. And I didn't even know who Sandy Bonneman was when I went. But when I went to talk to the Marine group down on Alcoa Highway, it was the Alexander Sandy Bonneman United States Marine Corps group. They had named their club after Lieutenant Alexander Sandy Bonneman. So that's when I first started wondering who he was. Once I learned who he was, I started wondering why he was. Why did he do what he did? Why? And it was because he's an American patriot, but he's also a well-to-do, wealthy American patriot whose parents or family owned and operated the Blue Diamond Coal Company here in Knoxville. And before World War II, he was in a profession that could have been a reason not to be in the military. His family was in the mining business, and he had moved to New Mexico and opened up a copper mine. Well, yeah, we needed soldiers in the field. The Marines needed soldiers. Army needed soldiers. But we also needed people who could mine resources and pull them out professionally and economically and in the right quantities. So, you know, we got the Bonnieman and the Bonnieman family still here in Knoxville. We're going to talk about what happened and everything to Mr. Bonnieman in the next portion of the show. But let me read you this citation, and I'm going to tell you his story here in a minute. First of all, he was born on May 2nd, 1910. And the President of the United States takes pride in presenting posthumously, to First Lieutenant Alexander Bonnieman, Jr., United States Marine Corps Reserve, for services set forth in the following citation. And you know what? I'm not going to read that citation to you. I'm going to tell you about a little story I saw this morning. I was clicking on Facebook, doing a little research for the show, and I clicked on this video, and all I saw was some sand. And I saw a lady's hand come up with a brush. She started brushing the sand away. And eventually, as she was brushing, she got to something about 6 or 8 inches underneath the sand, and it was the top of a skull. And she kept brushing it. And she was talking to a family member, I think, of the Bonnieman family. And as she kept brushing the skull away, she got down to the jaw and the teeth. And she was brushing it away, and she said, "The teeth are gold. It's him." And she kept on brushing. She kept explaining. They kept asking, "How do you know it's him?" And they said, "You know, most of the Marines during World War II didn't have good dental work or didn't have expensive dental work. And this soldier obviously has some very expensive gold crowns and bridge work inside his mouth. And that fits the description of the dental work that we have for Lieutenant Alexander Bonnieman." And I looked at it, and next to the skull was another mandible with some other teeth on it. And Lieutenant Bonnieman, when he was awarded, you know, the event that he did to be awarded his Medal of Honor, when he died, they were buried in a mass grave. And I'll tell you about that in a few minutes after the break. But stay tuned. We're going to talk about Lieutenant Alexander Bonnieman and his bridge. You're listening to Veteran Next Door. I'm your host, Randy Baxter, and we'll be right back.